Tonight at 8 o'clock, President Obama will make his case for military action in Syria. A vote in Washington about congressional support for the action is expected to take place tomorrow. The majority of Arkansas's delegation in both the Senate and the House is against military intervention. But freshman Republican Congressman Tom Cotton is with the president, though Cotton has been very critical of the administration's handling of American response to Syria. This weekend, Congressman Cotton, who is also running against Democratic incumbent Mark Pryor for a U.S. Senate seat, explained his rationale behind supporting a strike against Syria. He talked about his position on the weekend news program Capital View, hosted by Roby Brock and David Goines, and seen in Central Arkansas on KARK-TV. Roby, from our content partner Talk Business Arkansas, began the conversation.
You have drawn your conclusion on Syria pretty quickly compared to your congressional counterparts in the Arkansas delegation. Why has this been an easier decision for you to make? Why do you think they're struggling with it?
Well, I've advocated for several months, really a couple years now, that the United States should take a stronger leadership role in Syria because I think our core national security interests are at stake. I've been in two wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. No one wants to go to war less than someone who's had to fight in it. And no one is more frustrated with President Obama's indecision and lack of leadership that got us to the point today where we are in Syria. But nonetheless, we are at the present moment, and I do believe that our core national security interests are at stake in Syria. And that's why I think that we need to act just like we should have acted long ago.
What exactly changed with our national security interests that you talked about with this use of chemical weapons?
Well, I would say it's important to recognize that Syria is not just a civil war. That's the way it's perceived oftentimes. Syria is a broader proxy war in the Middle East, with our enemies fighting on the side of Bashar al-Assad, in particular Iran, one of our most severe enemies in the world, and Hezbollah, the Lebanese terrorist organization. So our enemies are engaged in this war, and they are winning it right now because of their support. When you look more broadly at our national security interests, the first is our credibility. The president has said to Syria, you can't use chemical weapons. Even if he hadn't drawn that quote-unquote red line, the United States has said for decades you can't use chemical weapons. And if we let him do that, then he will do it again. As important, Iran, which is fighting in Syria today with thousands of troops, will know that when the president says you can't build nuclear weapons, that he doesn't mean that either.
And if can you make that transition from chemical weapons, which are no doubt abhorrent, and the international community discussed the use of those to nuclear weapons?
I believe you can, because in Syria you've had the actual use of a weapon of mass destruction. Chemical weapons killed 1,400 people, 400 of them innocent children. In Iran, they're still developing nuclear weapons. So if you're the supreme leader of Iran and you see the president's unwillingness to enforce and stand by his own words in Syria, why would he stop what is perceived to be simply a developing program? But if Iran develops nuclear weapons, if they become committed to a nuclear breakout, it could just be a matter of months before they have nuclear warheads. And our own Air Force, the United States Air Force, said it could be 2015, less than 2 years, before Iran has intercontinental missiles, which means this is not just a threat for Israel and our allies in the region. Iran's nuclear weapons program, which would be emboldened by a failure to act in Syria, could strike the United States. It could strike Arkansas in less than 2 years.
You've gone a little bit further, though, than some folks have in Congress that even support this action in Syria in saying that you think Assad needs to be taken out. A regime change, mm-hmm. That would require much more than just a limited and specific action that we're talking about here. Are you supporting boots on the ground?
No, Roby, I don't advocate for putting troops on the ground. I don't think anybody anticipates troops going into Syria either.
So how do you have a regime change?
I think that's another misunderstanding right now. There's a lot of people hear about a use of force resolution in Congress, and they think about Iraq or Afghanistan because those are the most recent precedents. Something much more like Kosovo would probably be called for in Syria, when President Clinton had a sustained campaign against the pillars of power in Kosovo. So you'd see the same thing in Syria. You wouldn't just see Tomahawk missiles that are designed to degrade the chemical weapons capabilities, but also designed to degrade the Syrian Air Force, maybe even their runways, so they can't take off anymore. If you don't have runways, you don't have an effective Air Force. So Iran and so Russia can't continue to resupply the Syrian troops as they have been for the past several months. So we don't see boots on the ground, and it's not just something that I think is necessary, ultimately replacing Assad with a pro pro-Western regime. This has been the president's own stated policy for over a year now, since well before he was reelected by the American people. And in fact, as John Kerry said yesterday, it remains his policy. This immediate military action may not be geared towards removing Assad from power, but it will help remove some of his key advantages over the moderate rebels, who in the end we would like to see take over from Assad, secure the chemical weapons, and lead to a moderate transitional government that is pro-Western, that doesn't threaten its allies, that doesn't massacre its own people.
A point of distinction, I mean, Kosovo had fairly broad international support, a lot of UN troops. That doesn't seem to be the case here. So this sounds like this would be a U.S.
Well, that's unsettled yet, as Secretary Kerry testified earlier this week at our hearing at the Foreign Affairs Committee. There are lots of countries that want to see us take action in Europe, even if they're not going to commit their own military assets to the fight. The United States, let's face it, has unique capabilities in the world. Sometimes we are the only military that can conduct a military operation. Same thing throughout the Middle East. You see allies like Jordan, which is deeply destabilized right now because of the Syrian refugee crisis coming into Jordan, which is also a threat to Israel because Jordan provides a key strategic depth to its east, which keeps Iran off of the Palestinian border, but also some of the Sunni Gulf Arab states like Kuwait, like the United Arab Emirates, countries that have been good allies of us in the past that are right now supporting the rebels in Syria because they realize it's not a Syrian civil war. It is a proxy war against Iran and Iran's effort to obtain nuclear weapons and exert control over all of the Middle East.
If it's been in the president's goal to have, let's say, as you put it, a moderate opposition to take over in Syria, if that already existed, wouldn't there already be a move to make that happen? Because it doesn't appear that the rebel forces, although they're going against a regime that apparently has used chemical weapons on them, they're not considered necessarily moderate at all.
Well, this is part of my frustration with the president's failure to lead an active Syria for 2 years. When this started 2.5 years ago, it was native Syrians rising up as part of the Arab Spring against a dictator in Bashar al-Assad. Because he has failed to act, you do have Islamist extremists that have entered the country. But it's important to realize that they're not all the same. In fact, they're not even geographically the same. For the most part, the extremists are concentrated in the north and the northeast part of the country. The native moderate rebels are in the south and the central part. That means it is possible to distinguish between the two, to provide support for and training for the moderate rebel elements. They were actually winning in the fight until earlier this year when Iran sent thousands of new troops right in and millions of dollars, and Hezbollah did the same thing. This action could help restore the momentum that the moderate rebels had earlier this year that was destabilizing Assad before Iran and Hezbollah intervened.
I've talked to a couple of the other folks in the congressional delegation, many of whom are leaning against any action in Syria. They say they are hearing from their constituents overwhelmingly that we do not need to participate in this. Are you talking to your constituents? What are you hearing from constituents on this? Or is this something that you feel like you need to be leading your constituents on versus representing?
Yeah, certainly hearing from constituents through all forms of communication, phone call, emails, personal text messages to me. I'd say opinion is mixed, but it's very strong and passionate, as you would expect. A vote to authorize the use of force is the most consequential vote a Congress can take. I do believe that it is in our core national security interest to take action in Syria. I've spoken with my colleagues as well. I think most of my Republican colleagues from across the country would agree that our national security interests are at stake in Syria, but they're understandably mistrustful of the president and his ability to execute an effective military campaign, given his lack of leadership in Syria for the last 2 years. I share those doubts as well. I just think that as Congress, our constitutional role is to support the use of force, and simply because you vote for a use of force resolution doesn't mean that you can't critique the president's employment of that force or advocate for a more effective use of force that will achieve our strategic ends.
What happens if this vote fails in Congress and the president does not get this authority to do this? What are the options at that point in your estimation?
It's unclear to me. The president has said that he reserves the right to act inherently in his constitutional powers, which he possesses. I right now am focused on the vote not failing. I'm trying to persuade my Republican colleagues in the House and my Democratic colleagues, who are of mixed opinion as well, that for all of the president's indecision and delay to act in Syria, now that he's decided to take action and it will be in support and it will promote our national security interest, that we should support action in Syria, and we should try to ensure, we should advocate for the most effective action that'll protect and advance those interests.
So a simple targeted military strike, Does that get it done? I mean, I know you said you want
it. That can both degrade and deter the use of chemical weapons, and it can hit some of the key advantages that Bashar al-Assad has over the rebels. It can hit airfields, it can hit the Air Force, it can hit command and control communication centers.
So that's enough and we don't slip into, you know, I mean,
again, the analogy I would draw is not the more recent analogies to Afghanistan and Iraq, where you had tens of thousands of troops on the ground. No one anticipates troops on the ground in Syria. I would draw the analogy to what Bill Clinton did in 1999 in Kosovo, when you're using a combination of bombers and fighters, now drones, as well as naval gunfire like Tomahawks, to restore our momentum, or the momentum against Bashar al-Assad, and to ensure that he can't keep using chemical weapons with impunity, while also sending the right signal to dictators around the world, in particular Iran, that they can't develop weapons of mass destruction.
Arkansas Congressman Tom Cotton made his comments this weekend on Capitol View, hosted by Roby Brock and David Goins. You can hear more from the conversation at talkbusiness.net. And KUAF will provide live coverage of the president's speech tonight, beginning at 8 o'clock. Support for Talk Business Arkansas and Ozarks at Large comes from Mitchell Williams Law, providing strategic counsel on a variety of sophisticated legal matters since 1954. Mitchell Williams Law Firm combines decades of diverse professional experience to clients across the U.S. Today, the firm employs nearly 80 attorneys from four offices in Arkansas, Texas, and New York. Online at MitchellWilliamsLaw.com.
And Bank of the Ozarks, committed to helping business owners succeed by combining the tools and services businesses need with accessible experience and knowledge. More information at BankOzarks.com. And Verizon, offering a wide selection of productivity-enhancing tablets for small business, including the Apple iPad. More information at a Verizon communications store near you or online at vzw.com/smallbusiness. And CEG Partners, using empirical data to better understand your customers' experiences and their loyalties. More information at cegpartners.com.